What's up, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of Full Court Press, your one-stop shop for all your hoops talk. Today, we got an actual big-time special episode to give you. In the booth with me today, the Centennial College Radio All-Stars from Talk the Talk, George Gorgeous Fidel.
Thank you, Giannis.
Gorgeous George Fidel.
Gorgeous George Fidel. And then from the Sports Radio Jacks, you know the show, you love the show, it's Aaron Karolnik. What's up, AK?
Doing well. I don't get a nickname or, like, gorgeous
you
or
got,
beautiful.
You got AK. You can be pretty. So anyways, we've got the Raptors end of their season Wednesday. It was dubbed a glorified pickup game. No stars played, but it was a pretty eventful year for the Raptors. They lost Chris Bosh. They had a big trade fall through at the beginning of the year with the Charlotte Bobcats after Michael Jordan stepped in and had his say. They used a mid-level exception on a Lithuanian player and then tried to use it the following week on Mr. Killa Barnes. And that obviously didn't work out for the
Matty
team.
Matty Barnes.
And we drafted Ed Davis. That actually turned out to be a solid move for the Raptors on their part. If you look at who was drafted behind him anyways, seems like Davis was the pick there. And the Raptors, middle of the season, made a move for one Jared Bayless using that trade exception with the New Orleans Hornets. Moved away. It was actually the second move they made that year. They also moved for Julian Wright. Gave away Marco Bellinelli. So I guess the question is, with this Raptors season coming to an end, how would you rate it 1 to 10? I'll start with you, Aaron Karolnik.
Well, I don't think you could give it a good rating. Obviously, when you win 22 games, it's pretty hard to derive too many positives from the season. But, of course, there are some reasons to be optimistic. You talked about Jared Bayless, who was really good down the stretch with Jose Calderon with a hamstring injury. You talked about Ed Davis, who was a number one, another 12 pick. Overall in the draft, and he certainly showed some promise. And like obviously guys like Amir Johnson as well, so there are some building blocks for the Raptors.
Amir took a lot of flack for that contract at first, but it seems like...
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people were on Colangelo for the contract that Amir Johnson signed in the offseason, but he certainly looked to be worthy of it for the majority of the year before he went down with his injuries.
I mean, guys, let's be real here. No one thought that the Raptors were going to do anything this year, right? I mean, everyone had them pegged to finish dead last in the East, you know, top, you know, bottom
finish
two.
Last in the Atlantic.
Yeah, of course, right? I mean, this year especially was all about building youth, right? Looking at what we actually have, looking to, you know, the next two, three, four, five years even, right? We've got to build. We have to build through this draft coming up and in the next couple years as well.
If the goal was for youth, though, why use the $15 million trade exception, at least most of it, on Peja Stojakovic? They didn't even keep.
Colangelo's got to look busy, too, right? I mean, he just can't sit back and do nothing. He's trying to put out a product that's fairly decent for Raptors fans to want to pay tickets to come see, right? So I don't blame him there. He's trying to do something, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to be next.
Well, we talked a little bit about Jared Bayless earlier, who the Toronto Raptors acquired in a trade from the New Orleans Hornets.
And that was that Peja trade, which I mentioned.
Yes. And Bayless showed a lot of promise down the stretch. He averaged nearly 20 points a game, and he had 6 assists in pretty extensive playing time with most of the Raptors starters sitting out. And I think that's something certainly to look forward to. If Jared Bayless is a guy who can play 35 minutes for you, he's certainly more of a scoring option, more so than Jose Calderon, who's more of a distributor. But I'd say the Raptors are a team that really needs a guy who can score from the one, more so than a guy you can just distribute to. Really, the Raptors, not that much outside shooting the Raptors really possess at this point. So Bayless is a really good guy who can break down the defense, create his own shot, knock down some threes, which is another thing the Raptors are lacking at this point. So I think Bayless is certainly a very big building block for the
team. Well, the Raptors haven't had a point guard that can penetrate quite like Bayless since T.J. Ford, and T.J. Ford was a different kind of player. We can assume that much. The thing I like about Bayless, though, mostly is his defense. I think that his size and his length, his ability to move laterally, gives the Raptors something that I can't remember them ever having, which is a defensive point guard that can stop a two if you really need it. I like the Arizona product. I thought that trade was all right with them. I like the way that Davis has worked out. There are some building blocks with the youth. That being said, there was that deal on the table with Charlotte this season, and it would have brought the Raptors something that was quite nice in Tyson Chandler, who ended up having quite a nice year with the Dallas Mavericks, gave them front court presence that they hadn't had in a long time. And then the other guy in the trade, of course, was Boris Diaw, the seventh man in the famous Phoenix 60 seconds or less offenses that have that were great.
8 seconds or less.
8 seconds, yeah. 60 seconds or less. That's like 2.5 shot clocks, but that's okay.
In the long run, definitely not. Tyson only had, what, a year left? So we get a year of him. do we really think that he would sign back with us?
Well, maybe.
Depends on how the Raptors did.
He could have liked the area. He could have liked the team. Yeah, the team might have done a little bit better with him and Dio.
Possibly. I mean, I couldn't see them finishing better than a 7th seed, maybe 8th seed. You know, on getting absolutely crushed by a team like the Bulls, the Heat. Do you know what I mean, guys? I mean, was it really good for us in a long-term sense, or was it just a way for Colangelo to
try? So you think had we acquired those players, the Raptors would have made the playoffs?
I believe so, yes.
Huh. Yeah, you feel the same way, Aaron Crowley?
I think it'd be close. Certainly, you look at some of the teams that finished towards in the 8th seed and 7th seed, like the Indiana Pacers. I think the Raptors with a Diao and a Chandler could certainly be right up there with the Pacers, who really didn't have all that of an exceptional year.
Or Philly, even.
Or Philly, yeah.
Or Philly. Philly's not the strongest
team,
right?
Well, I guess you'd have to look back
really nice down the
with
stretch,
Jared
though.
Jack as the point guard if the Raptors had traded Calderon back in that Charlotte deal. But then again, you know, it's good to have that playoff experience. Whether or not it's a short stay in the playoffs, the Raptors get bounced in 4 or 5 games against a team like Boston or Miami, it's still good to have your young players like a Davis, like a DeRozan, like a Jared Bayless, who eventually would be acquired later in the season, to get that feel for playoff
intensity. How much playing time would Davis have actually gotten had that trade gone
through? That's a very good point.
Right?
That's a good point. You probably wouldn't see it too much
before.
He
wouldn't have seen anything,
Start at the beginning of the year anyways, though.
Very, very true.
And that being said, had that trade gone through, Reggie Evans would have gone the other way
as well.
So that would have cleared up a little bit of time.
Diaw would have probably played the 4 for us, though.
Diaw is a pretty flexible guy, though. He can play the 3, and that's a position the Raptors were pretty weak at. Again, though, if you inject Boris Diaw into our lineup, you probably don't see that James Johnson trade coming into the middle of the season. Let's touch on that. James Johnson came in for what was a part of the, I guess, Chris Bosh deal. Ended up with Miami's pick coming back our way, first-round pick. Ended up trading it to the Chicago Bulls for James Johnson, who was the 16th overall pick in, what was it, the 2000?
Same draft as DeRozan.
Yeah, okay, same draft as DeRozan, so that's 2009?
Yep.
Yeah, so we ended up with James Johnson, athletic freak, Ninja Johnson.
I think yes, he's a black belt.
Black belt, yeah. He's pretty cool player. Pretty cool customer. So what do you guys think about James Johnson and his future with this club? We'll go back to Kurelnik this time.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Johnson. This is a guy who showed versatility on both ends of the court. He plays some very solid defense, averaged more than a steal and a block in each of his starts or throughout all of his starts in the second half of the year with the Raptors. Also, you got to look back to the draft day when the Raptors took DeMar DeRozan. There were reports that very day that James Johnson was going to be their selection because I guess they assumed that DeRozan wouldn't be around when they were drafting 9th. So it was obvious that Colangelo was a big fan of Johnson's talents out of Wake Forest, and obviously this is a guy that he wanted to get. He didn't really give up too much for him, as Miami's pick is going to be near the end of the draft, probably 27 to 30 range. So it was a great, very calculated move to pick up a guy who's played significant minutes down the stretch and give him a shot to
You like James Johnson, George?
I don't mind him. I mean, when that trade was made, it was obvious that every other option at the 3 was not working for us. And, you know, I could sense that Colangelo is trying to build, you know, with like a lot of youth, right? This is a very young kid who was playing on a very talented Bull squad where he didn't get minutes, basically. No one really knows or knew what the kid could actually do, right?
So it's great. You got to watch those guys' routines, though, which is always good.
Very, very true. I mean, so now, you know, Johnson's got the ball in his hands. You know what I mean? He's got playing time. He's got a chance to start, right? So
yeah. See, I think we're unanimous in that we like the move, especially since when you consider what the Raptors gave up in return. At the time of the trade, I thought it was the token Raptors move every trade deadline. If you follow the team and you're a fan of the team, they generally like to make a move that almost seems to have no bearing, like a Fred Jones acquisition or something along those lines. The Raptors don't have the greatest history with that. So when I first was reported about the trade, I kind of fluffed it off as that, as though, you know, this was a nothing move. But what James Johnson has provided, his ability to dribble drive, get up and contest shots at the rim.
And defense.
And defense is,
yeah. Excellent defense.
That's his main attribute. I think that was a great move. That might have even been like a season-saving move for Colangelo almost. I know that's a little bit of a stretch, but if you consider the other things that he did this year, it wasn't the best years for Mr. Colangelo. Would you not say so, Mr. Fidel?
I would say so, which is why there's a lot of rumors that Mr. Colangelo might not be in town anymore come the fall, right?
Yeah, for those of you that do not know of these rumors, it's been reported that, Donnie Walsh from the New York Knicks has been rumored to be leaving to go back to where he began his career with the Indiana Pacers, subsequently leaving a vacant job there as the GM of the New York Knicks, as something that Colangelo has been reportedly interested in reuniting with former Phoenix head coach Mike D'Antoni.
I find it hard to call this season for the Raptors a disappointment, considering coming into the year, It was expected by pretty much everybody that the Raptors were going to have a terrible season, going to be drafting near the top of the draft, and they've accomplished just that. We're going to have the Raptors are going to have a very high draft pick. We're currently slated to be the third highest probability of receiving the first pick of the draft at 15.5%. And if the Raptors, you know, if we could get lucky, strike in the lottery, draw that first pick in the draft, and pick up a guy like Kyrie Irving, who I'm sure we're going to touch on later with our little draft preview for the Raptors, the Raptors could be looking at a significantly better team next year with a guy like Irving, who is very highly touted as likely the best point guard out in the country, who missed a lot of time this year at Duke. But a lot of it depends on the lottery, because at the third pick, there's pretty much a consensus top two, and after that, it's a little bit up in the air.
CAK, I agree that there was low expectations for the Raptors this season, but for Colangelo himself, someone that was brought into Toronto with so many expectations, such high expectations.
So much praise as well.
Yes, exactly. This guy won Executive of the Year the first year that he was with the Raptors in 2005. There was a lot of hope. There really was. There's been tons of optimism. Now, it seems as though his model of importing these European players and guys that he feels are glue guys to the Raptors has kind of backfired and hasn't really worked. And now with these New York rumors, you can't feel that comfortable going into what you said, AK, is a vital draft for the Raptors. They need to be on their A game this draft. If they end up, they're projected at 3 now, they could end up moving up to 1. But if they gaff this lottery, then they're done for. And do you want to have a GM that's sitting at that desk thinking about what it's going to be like to be working for the New York Knicks, a team that's in your division at the same time? I think that conflict of interest is very dangerous for the Raptors. I think that if you look at anything that needs to be changed right now, I think it starts with at the top, and I think Brian Colangelo needs to go.
Well, I don't know how you find a suitable replacement for Colangelo. It certainly sounds from the likes of it. Yeah, because this is a guy with a great track record. Obviously, it's time
in
Toronto.
The past few years
obviously hasn't been as splendid, but you look at his draft track record, even in the past few years, Ed Davis, DeMar DeRozan. It's really hard to criticize any of his picks from the last few years.
Oh, yeah, Ed Davis and DeMar DeRozan worked out fantastic.
Yeah, 9th and 12th overall, respectively. So
spoke to one Leo Routens today, and he actually mentioned to us that if you look at those two draft years and you look at who went behind DeRozan and Davis, there isn't a player that you would trade for either of those guys.
Absolutely. And even you look at the Andrea Bargnani draft, aside from Brandon Roy, who's chronically injured with his knees, and
LaMarcus,
John Rondo.
LaMarcus Aldridge?
Was that the same
draft.
Year?
No.
Different draft?
A
different
LaMarcus draft. Aldridge was the Bargnani year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It was Roy Rondo and Bargnani are really the only impact players from that draft that currently are still out there. So it's hard to criticize Colangelo for that draft either. So really, you can't look at his draft record. That's been pretty solid throughout his tenure as GM in Toronto and in Phoenix, where he got Sean Marion and Amari Stoudemire with later picks as well. So
what about that trade Colangelo made? I know this wasn't this year.
Sean Marion trade?
Sean Marion trade. Yeah, what did you think of that?
That didn't work out so swimmingly, nor
it's
did Jermaine O'Neal.
We got that pick back. Whew. Yeah. Can you imagine if that pick was still in Miami's hands?
Wow.
Wow, yeah. That would be pretty.
Kyrie Irving would look good in Miami uniform.
Would he
sure.
ever. So let's move along, though, to the head coaching situation. What do we think about Jay Triano, George Fidel?
I like him. I think he works really, really well as far as, you know, playing, you know, the youth, you know, working with those kids. The patience is definitely there. I mean, he's not a big, big name. His track record isn't really, really there. But let's be honest. Who's of a big name that's going to come here at this point in time?
Sam Mitchell might be available.
Oh,
maybe Daryl Walker.
We really want
Brendan
Sam
Malone.
Mitchell to
Daryl
come
Walker.
Back and maybe challenge someone else to a fight.
Maybe.
I think Vince Carter's going to be
allegedly challenge
Vince
someone.
Vince Carter's a free agent. Also,
T-Mac's out there. Vince Carter, let's just reassemble. Maybe Antonio Davis will come out of retirement.
Damon Stoudemire.
Charles Barkley.
The greatest point guard ever.
As a coach, I was going to say, if you saw Charles trying to shoot that layup where he was playing one-on-one against D-Wade, they got a clip of that. That was absolutely awful. Dude barely got an inch off the ground and then missed a left-handed layup by a country mile.
He's there for his imposing presence more than anything.
Yeah, he's a great personality for TV now. But, stay off the court, Chuck. When it comes to Toronto, though, I agree. I think the guy probably learned quite a bit coaching or being the assistant coach at Team USA this past summer. If you look at the players that were on that team, they've pretty much all excelled this year, except for maybe Danny Granger. We discussed a little earlier today. Danny hasn't taken a massive step back, but you wouldn't really argue that he's excelled this season like some of the other guys like Kevin Love and Russell Westbrook. That being said, I think Toronto's a good fit for this team right now. He's a Canadian, even though he did coach for Team USA. He represents the community well. I find him a very intelligent guy, an articulate guy, someone that I think manages minutes well. I think he's good with the youth. He's got them to buy into this program where they're all going to grow up together in this system. I think that to make a move on a coach right now would be nothing but reactionary based on the record. I think the Raptors are not a better team than their record indicates, but I think their coach is better than their record indicates. You think that's fair?
I think that is fair. The talent level that Toronto's been working with this season and the latter half of last year with Chris Bosh taking pretty much the second half of the year off, same with Turkoglu. Or the Turkoglu.
Turkoglu.
Yeah.
Put any time in?
Let's not mention that.
There was like 5 minutes where he hustled.
But it's very difficult to criticize a guy who's working with little to no talent, and that's what Toronto has been working with. And until you give this guy something he can really dig his hands into and formulate a system around, whether it be a group of solid core players or a superstar player, which the Raptors clearly lack at this point, it's just not fair to criticize Toronto at this point.
And the bottom line is that he's never had that talent to really work with. I mean, sure, we had Chris Bosh, but he's proven that he's not a number one guy. And this past year, I mean, could anyone have really done a better job? Some of these bigger names, guys? Like, who?
Yeah, that's exactly it. If you put Greg Popovich on the Toronto Raptors,
I don't think
right
we're
now,
a 40-win
yeah,
win
no.
team.
Do they win any more games than 22?
Pops in there, or with Phil, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think Phil would have actually been a terrible fit for the Raptors
sure.
this season, but... That's it. I think Jay Triano should be here to stay. If anybody moves, it's going to be Colangelo. But then again, if Colangelo does go, generally a new GM likes to bring in his own head coach. So
sure.
If there's any switch, then it's probably going to be complete switch rather than just partial. Let's move along, though, to the draft, because we mentioned that just briefly. Kralnik did. We talked a little bit about touched on Kyrie Irving. The Raptors do have that 3 spot right now. The lottery has not been determined, but they do have, 15% chance?
15.5%.
15.5% chance of landing that number one lottery ball. The problem for the Raptors at 3 is if they remain in that slot and Harrison Barnes chooses not to go to the draft, which apparently seems very convincing that Barnes is going to stay at North Carolina next year.
Which is completely shocking, because here's a kid who could possibly go top 4.
Oh,
top
he would
three,
go top 3
top
or top
2
four.
Even.
We've already seen,
why would he
we've
stay
already
in
seen
college?
Guys like Jared Sullinger say... I think that Sullinger is a little bit safer for him to stay in college, because he's a guy that, you know, he's not going to really change his draft stock. He is what he is. He's one of those guys where you're drafting him, what you see is what you get. He's not a potential guy. You can put him down on the block and
is
score.
Is this a huge risk for a Barnes here to possibly slip?
I think for
slip?
Barnes, if anything, it's going to be hurtful for him, yes. Because this year's draft is one where GMs are almost basically trying to trade out of these top spots to move down in the draft, because they don't feel like any one of these guys is exactly worth the top-end money of one of these guys. That being said, Derek Williams really did show something in the tournament as sure. well, the Arizona product. His former head coach of the program, Lute Olson, actually was quoted as saying he's somewhere in between it, or somewhere like a more athletic Andre Iguodala, which if you watch the NBA this season, Iguodala was maybe the best perimeter defender in the entire NBA. So I wouldn't mind giving top-end money to
who's
a guy like that.
Also a physical freak.
That's
so
exactly
so
it.
So to say that he's even better than him, possibly yeah. better, that's... shocking, right?
But when going back to Harrison Barnes, I think that Sullinger is not making a mistake. I think Ohio State has a very good chance of winning it again next year. A lot of returning players. Sullinger is the number one guy there. He had the most finishes near the basket in the entire NCAA. They shot one of the highest percentages as a team from the left-hand side of the field. They were unbelievable, Ohio State. That's okay. I think Barnes is one of those guys that can go either way, where he spends another year in college. It could really help develop his game. He could end up being a superstar. You looked at preseason rankings of where rookies or where the class was. He was pretty much the consensus number one guy. Would you not agree with that, Aaron? Like, he coming into the NCAA season, the thinking was Barnes would be number one in the draft.
Certainly up there, yes. But I think Barnes is making a smart decision staying in North Carolina. They've built a very solid foundation there in Carolina. John Henson and Kendall Marshall form a very solid group there alongside Barnes. Barnes had a very...
Don't forget Tyler Zeller.
Of course, Tyler Zeller. But there's actually rumors he might be going to the draft. But... you look at Barnes' first half of the year. This is a guy who was not exemplifying his true potential, and he really came up in the second half of the year and started putting up the games that people were expecting from him to start the year. In the tournament, the ACC tournament, Barnes was awesome. He hit the few game winners, and in the NCAA tournament, Barnes also was playing great and scoring a lot more, and that really demonstrated what the skills he has from the outside and driving to the hole. So I think Barnes is going to come back strong next year and I think he definitely could be the number one pick going into next year, which he probably wouldn't
you know what?
Like to be not
and also
year.
Props to a kid for wanting to actually go back to school.
Yeah, he's a winner.
There's
you
enough of
that.
these kids who just go for a year and they say, you know what, it's time.
Hopefully
to make
part
some cash.
Of it is education, though, as well, and not just basketball.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not.
The girls.
I don't think so at all.
I don't think you can get girls with
an
NBA.
He's itching to win.
Yeah, okay. That's
he wants to win.
Going back to the Raptors, though, because we got a little bit off topic there. What do you think the Raptors, if they fall to 3, if they remain at 3, should I say, and Kyrie Irving and Williams end up getting taken. Where do they go from there? Do they go best player available, or do you think they go
to church and they pray and pray and pray? Because every person after that, it's going to be pure luck. I don't know.
A lot of us just don't. We just don't know what guys like Terrence Jones and Enes Kanter and Donatas Jacekevic.
He's not Kanter. I can't.
We just don't know what these guys can provide. Like, do you really want to step up and take a guy like Kemba Walker or Jimmer Fredette, who have obviously been amazing on the college scene, but they're a little on the smaller side. We don't really know what they can do on the pro level. And it's just a calculated risk at that point. Anything below the top two, it seems.
You've taken J.J. Redick third overall?
Never.
No, but so, a lot of people think that
that's not how I feel. I feel he's more in the I think he's more in the J.J. Redick mold than he is in the Deron Williams mold, which he gives to himself as he tags himself. Let's just be a little bit realistic here. I've never seen a guy play more selfishly and not get chastised for it than Jimmer Fredette, but that aside, yeah, I think the Raptors are in big trouble if they don't land one of those two spots.
Massive trouble.
Yeah, that's
it's
key.
It's a very weak draft, and it seems like the Raptors just have terrible luck whenever they do have a top, you know, two or three pick. It seems to always be during during a terrible year, right? I mean, what are they actually going to do if it's a number three pick? Yeah. Or what if it falls beyond three, which is possible?
Very possible.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's very possible.
I think
right?
the difference between, you know, three and five and six and seven isn't that stark.
Right?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Kevin Durant draft.
Sure.
You know, where you were either, and I know Greg Oden didn't pan out that well, and actually Al Horford ended up turning out to be a beast at number three.
Number three pick, yep.
I'm just saying that there was, when you looked at that draft at the time, there was two guys, and then there was the field. And that was really it. And I think you've got a pretty similar situation this year where if you're not drafting in the top two, especially if Barnes stays, which he's likely to, then you've got a situation where, yeah, you're either going to try to trade out of that pick or just try to roll with who you think has the best potential. And that's not been the best move for, I don't know, Toronto in the past.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Raptors are obviously going to conduct their workouts. And if it's a guy like Enes Kanter, it really shows that he has a lot of potential and could grow into
center as well, right?
Yeah, he's like a 6'11 kid from Turkey or Lithuania.
Turkey.
Yeah, he's a Turk. There's a Lithuanian kid as well, though.
Yeah. There's
Jonas.
Jacekevicius or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But it's just a crapshoot at that point. We don't know what these guys play like. We only know what we see in the NCAA. And in the top 10, we know what Kyrie Irving can do. We know what Derek Williams can do. We know what Kemba Walker can do. We know what Jimmer Fredette can do, but to take either Walker or Fredette at three seems like a pretty big reach to me.
Yeah, that seems pretty true. And when it comes to those European players that you touched on, what I've heard or what I've seen of them is ESPN.com article and writing. I've never seen the guys play. I've seen a bit of highlight reel, but that's about it. So there's nothing for me to say one of those guys should go in the top three. We talk about potential, though, and I guess this is where the Raptors season has all culminated to, which was that, you know, we've built this youth. We've built this stable of young guys that we're going to try to rely on instead of going the superstar route like the Vince Carter's ways in the past or trying to rely on Chris Bosh to be a franchise player. The Raptors now are going to try to invoke more of the Detroit Pistons mold where instead of having one superstar, you have a contingency of all-stars, maybe fringe guys that wouldn't even be all-stars on a different team, but together they formulate an all-star group. And that starts with freshman guard DeMar DeRozan and rookie Ed Davis. So when we look at DeRozan, how much are we reading into this season? Because he averaged over 20 points a game. But for a very bad team. Yeah, it's for a terrible team. And if you look at a league like the NBA, it's just like if you're playing in a top line in hockey, you should fall into 40 points. If you play on, or 40, 60 points, if you play top minutes in an NBA team and you're the star and you're getting all the touches, you should fall into 20.
Sure.
How does DeRozan look to you then? I'll put it that way. Does he look like somebody that's just falling into those points or someone that can actually excel and be someone that scores 20 points on a team that's better than the Raptors are now?
Honestly, I think it's still too soon to judge. DeRozan is a very young guy. Potential is definitely there. As of now, he's a slasher/dunker. He definitely needs to work on that shot of his. But he is he's a great, great player, and I think we are going to see a lot of good things from him.
Aaron?
It's true. Like, you talk about 20-point scorers on bad teams. Guys like Mike James have scored 20 points a game for the Toronto Raptors in the past, so somebody's got to get theirs for each of their teams. But it's very difficult to say because DeRozan's still a very young kid. He obviously hasn't flourished to his true potential yet. He's still 21 years old. He doesn't really develop that outside jumper that's consistent. But there are very promising signs with DeRozan. He does look like a kid who wants to learn, who wants to put in the time. And that's something that can't be underrated.
Yeah, pretty short on time here, though. It was really fun hanging out with you guys today. I hope we can do it again sometime. Again, this was Full Court Press.
All-Star Edition.
All-Star Edition with George Fidel and Aaron Karolnik. I'm Giannis Bunkus, and thanks for tuning in.